friends. Welcome to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Christy. We are two sisters who love Jesus, and we are committed to walking out our faith one step at a time.
This season, we will be talking about walking with the past, but pressing on towards freedom in Christ.
Welcome back to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. This season, we've been pressing on toward the life we have been called to and the freedom we can receive in Christ, even though many of us still walk with reminders of our past hurts, fears, and behaviors. We want to say, keep walking, keep pressing into your faith, keep showing up to your small groups, keep meeting with like-minded friends over coffee for encouragement, and keep asking God to show you what He wants you to know about Him and you in this season. This week is such a special week for those of us that profess to be Christians. It is Easter, and we just want to say happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. It is because of the life, death, and resurrection power of Jesus Christ that the freedom we've been talking about in this season and the freedom we are in pursuit of and in need of can be found and is available to each of us today. We are so excited to have a returning guest with us today, and we look forward to what he is going to share with us.
Yes, we're so excited to have Eric Shamblin, my husband, with us today. And he was with us in season one, and it was just a special time pre-surgery, and we were talking about a diagnosis and just the role my family was playing and just all the things we were walking through together. And I'm so, so thankful for you. We've kind of come through that season, and thankfully God is working and healing and restoring, even if it's not physically always, but healing and restoring spiritually, emotionally, every day. And so today we have Eric with us. We are headed toward 28 years of marriage. Wow. That's amazing. And just some beautiful things we have shared in those years together. We have four amazing grown kids. It's hard to believe they're 25, 24, 21, 14. Like, where has the time gone? But it's beautiful. And Eric, I see in you, whether you're leading worship, you're working in a school, wherever you are, some core identity traits of just being a peacemaker. You just have a way of bringing conflict back, softening conflict and bringing peace to situations. You're an encourager. Like, everybody who knows you is encouraged by you. And you're a worshiper. You're a worship leader, but you're a worshiper. And you know, that's what God has put in your heart. And no matter where you are doing those things. And just what a gift to share this with you. But we also know that in 27, going on 28 years of marriage, there's been some challenges too. And oftentimes we might have seen each other as the enemy, but we also are so confident that we're not the enemy. The enemy is Satan, and he comes against us, comes against marriages, comes against people to destroy, to kill. And we are confident that when we are struggling, we just have to remember that's the enemy coming at us. It's not between us or between friends or people. And that's just given us the confidence to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus through the difficulties and through the absolute joys we've shared in this life. So we're just so thankful that you would come be with us at the table, especially in this season, just to share your experiences and how God has led you into pursuing freedom in Christ.
Awesome. Yeah. I just want to say to both of you, like I've had that front row seat for almost 28 years, probably 30 years, because let's admit it, Kel, you knew when we moved to Somerville, Eric was the one when you were in 10th grade. So it's been way more than 28 years, but it has been fun to watch both of y'all just grow together, work through challenges and health issues. And what I see in the two of y'all is a team, and y'all are on the same team. So yes, you have internal conflicts, but you're able to communicate those with each other. You are a beautiful team, and I love just being a part of your family, but also just, able to watch that and learn from y'all, and it is beautiful. So thank you.
Amen. Well, you've been on the team too.
I was on the team before you, but
in our game, you're on the bench. But we're on the bench of your team. Yes. So, we're on the team.
Thankful we're on the same team. But anyway, Eric, we have a couple questions for you. Okay. And so the first thing we would just like for you to share with us, is there something that you've walked through in your own past that tested your faith? And could you share that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for having me back. I was a little nervous. I wasn't the first returning guest. I'm not the second. I'm down the line, but I won't hold that against anybody. No. Privileged to be back having me. And Kelly, you referenced a couple of passages there, John 10:10, right? Mm-hmm. That's where the gospel writer and really Jesus defines our enemy, right? Yeah. And what he wants to do is steal, kill, destroy.
Right.
And then Jesus comes to give us life. But then also Paul writes in Ephesians that the enemy is not flesh and blood.
Right.
It is the evils of this world, right? So there is a separate there, and there are teams, right? And we know there are two distinct teams. And in my life, I've seen those teams come out with attacks, and those attacks happen all around us. And in our life, we live our lives and we have events of our lives. Some things we can control, most things we cannot. And when those things that we cannot control come at us, it's how we handle those and how we deal with those. And there was a season in my life that I was hit hard from a lot of different angles and did not handle them well. Tried to internalize too much, tried to do too much on my own, tried to be more of a lone ranger through that. And the result of that was bad choices, choices that led to hurt. Choices that led to, breaking things apart. And I was thinking about that as preparing for today is, the enemy always, it's kind of a opposite of what God wants to do. Another passage in Ephesians says that God will bless us abundantly more than we can hope or imagine. Well, the direct converse of that is the enemy wants to hurt us more than we can ever hope or imagine. And that's exactly what I felt like in my season. These things were happening around us that I didn't handle well, didn't trust people enough, didn't allow God to work through. I tried to control it too much. And what we found out is that the enemy led me down these paths and these decisions that seemed right in my own mind, that seemed to be an escape from things that were hurting me, that I needed that. That's the confusion there, that I needed this to get away, and I needed whatever else that was to drive me. And that wasn't the case, but it ended up being way worse than I ever would have thought or imagined, because it's never just about me. There's all these people involved. There's commitments to my wife, my family, church. I was serving my, you know, family, just all these and all those things I didn't realize. And that's what the enemy does. He hides you from that realization that you're going to break things up so much more than you ever thought. But that's hindsight, right? In the middle of it, you don't see that. And so I just, you know, in those times, I think you find the pressure of your life, and it always finds the weakest spot of your life. I was thinking about that. If you got a balloon, right, and you blow a balloon up, at some point it's going to pop, and at some point it's going to pop at the weakest spot. So looking back, something I would encourage listeners and people to do is find your weak spots. Know your weakness. And that's a business model, right? The strengths and weakness model. Know your strengths, but you better know your weaknesses, because those weaknesses are what's going to be popped. Those weaknesses, far more than your strengths, are going to be shown out in whatever happens in your life. And there will be times of trial. There will be times of trouble. Jesus said that in John 14. In this life, you will have trouble. And that trouble comes in a lot of different ways and how we handle it. And so, yes, that season was very difficult. There was a lot of things going on within our family, a lot of things happening financially. There was some that brought internal conflict, and not handling that internal conflict correctly wanted me to find it out, wanted me to find that weak spot. And that's where it popped, right there in that spot.
Thanks for sharing that, Eric. It reminds me of exposure. I mean, Kelly, season one was all about exposing a diagnosis and exposing what the MS and the tremors, like, you were so honest about that outward exposure. And God he had to deal with that too. And now we're talking about internal, you know, just fears and things that are coming out, and it's being exposed. And that is the weakness. So, gosh, I'm just reminded how it can be internal, it can be external, but we need God with all of those weaknesses. So when we get back from a quick break, we're going to continue with you, Sharon, Eric. Thank you.
Hey, guys, we're taking a quick break to tell you about an 8-week discipleship study designed to help you live free and stay free in Christ.
Mercy Multiplied's Keys to Freedom study takes men and women of all ages and life stages on an interactive journey with God to explore the 7 keys to freedom that have proven transformational to thousands and thousands of people across the country and around the world. You can go through this study by yourself, with a small group, or one-on-one. Keys to Freedom is also available as a video teaching series for individuals or groups. Find out more at mercymultiply.com/keys to freedom. You can find the Keys to Freedom teaching series on Mercy's online store. Now back to the show. All right, welcome back. Thank you, Eric, for being here today and sharing with us. We just want to continue with our conversation. You were just sharing a little bit about just being exposed during some things in your life and in your family that were kind of brought to light and exposed. And so we just want to continue on with that. And how did that season, that hard season, strengthen your faith?
Yeah, those seasons are nothing that you look for. You're never expecting. Looking back, you know, hindsight, always would like to have things in place. So maybe you could be expecting a little bit more. Definitely my faith is so much stronger now than it was. I mean, I was 10 years old, accepted Christ at a Monday night revival in little rural West Virginia. Still remember that night, so I know it was real. I know that God came into my life at that point, baptized in the, you know, banks of the Kanawha River. And so all my life I had known Jesus and followed Jesus. But it's really not till you get to that tension point and really failure that you can understand really what it's about. And I think that's what that season, it really brought me back to that understanding of really what it was. And so I kind of liken this whole thing about, and not just my story, but as we were talking prior to coming to this place today, was how can this relate to everyone's story? And I think for me, I got the image of this reset button. You know, it's like the whole Staples commercial, you know, like the easy button. Well, it's not easy. There's nothing easy about, you know, hard times in life and getting back to where you need to be. But electronics in today's age give us this little thing called a reset button. And I don't know all about technology. I don't know all about phones and applications or apps on a phone. But I do know that sometimes there's conflicting apps. And when you talk to a technology person, which I have to often, they'll say, just hit the reset button. Just turn it off, turn it back on, let it reset. And that often works. And sometimes it's because, in my limited understanding, that these apps and these things have code, right? There's computers just do what we tell them to. And so there's code and they're conflicting. So this one code is trying to work, but there's an operating system code that is not accepting it. And so they don't talk. And that's why your little mini computer device, your phone, shuts down. It freezes up because it cannot talk anymore. My life, when going through that season, there was a moment. I love to sing. I love to worship. That's part of who I am. But there was a season that I couldn't do that. I remember the time when, Kelly, you remember we went to that marriage thing in Rome, Georgia. And one of the guys there was a pianist and player. And they were like, hey, let's just sing. And I remember that moment like, I don't want to. I can't right now. That's because my heart wasn't ready for that. The code inside was broken. And I couldn't get there. But I remember that moment where he started playing a good old hymn. And I remember it starting to come out. And I remember it being, and everybody just started singing. And I remember that kind of broke that code that was part of the reset. And I think that's good because when you reset things, it allows the operating system to either go back to the default setting or goes back to a place in time you wanted to go. And I know for me, I wanted to recall back a place where I knew God, where some of my decisions and actions were in line with him. They were in that road of where he wanted me to be and not the road that I jumped off of and went off on a tangent. That wasn't who I really was, but my decisions had made it seem that way. But those were decisions. They were bad decisions. And I could get reset back to that point. And so I'm so thankful that God gives us the opportunity. And we are in that week of the Holy Passion Week, where the whole point of the cross was that we could hit that reset button, where we could get back to that point of knowing who we really are in him, because we are made in his image. We're designed for him. We're designed to be children of the Most High God. But we do make decisions every day that lead us down this path. But that reset button, man, needs to be one that you're familiar with, that you know to get back to. Because when you're in that hard time, you've made bad choices to get to that bad place, right? We've turned down that road, that dark road, that, you know, dirt road that leads to nowhere, and we feel like we're stuck. Well, Jesus came to be the Lamb of God to say, you're not stuck. You're not stuck. I'm here to pull you out of that, and I'm here to bring you to new life. I'm here to bring you to something brand new. And so that reset button really helped me understand that and the way the operating systems are. And we often conflict. And when you do reset, sometimes you find out that that app is just a bad app, right? That you don't, maybe you don't need that app on your phone anyway. And it's not working, right? It's not wanting to talk, right? Well, you have the choice to delete that app. You have the choice to not use that. And maybe sometimes we get caught up in our world too much with social media. I'm not on much social media, but I, you know, everything you read, you talk about, and sometimes we just may need to come to realize that we need a break from that. Or are we doing that the right way? Or maybe we just need to delete the app altogether. And it doesn't need to cause conflict with the operating system that we have in our heart. And one of my, to get to a biblical account, probably the second greatest passage, the first was Psalm 51. And through this time, because I had God's word and I knew it, I could recall back to the Psalms, right? The virtual temple, the understanding of who Jesus is and the worshiping that from way back when, that we can look and see who God is. And David, in his account of just turmoil and making bad choices, he should have been somewhere else. He wasn't. He made some bad choices. He tried to cover it up. Man, awful things. Psalm 51 is his account of his confession and his repentance to get back to who God made him to be, who God called him out to be, you know, from being the king, the great king. And he reminded that he hit the reset button right there. That's what Psalm 51 is. It's a reset button of the Bible. And boom, he hit that thing and he lived through that. And God used that. But then also the other passage with John 21, one of Jesus's most famous disciples is Peter. And Peter, man, Peter is Peter, right? I mean, Peter is an awesome guy. I would have liked to have known Peter. One day I want to have some good conversations with Peter in glory. But Peter, man, he wore his emotions on his sleeve. Peter often did before he thought. And Jesus told Peter the night before he went through, you know, the scourging and the arrest and the crucifixion, you're going to betray me three times. And Peter's arrogant response often, no way, I'll never do that to you. I love you. We'll see. And John probably loved putting this passage in his gospel because he often refers to Peter as the other one. And so he puts this passage in, and then he follows that during that time when he was denying Christ and the crow, you know, you heard the rooster crow. That just was like an audible remembrance of what Jesus had said would happen. And now Peter is stuck in this guilt. Peter is stuck in this lane that he just failed. This guy who showed him so much love and power, who he verbally said many times, you are the Christ. And he just failed him personally. I felt that. I had just failed my Lord personally. And it was much deeper than just me. Like I said, the enemy always makes it worse than you could ever imagine. But then we see this beautiful passage in John 21 where the disciples, this is after Jesus had been resurrected and he's appearing, you know, strategically to his followers. And the boys are out fishing. And Peter instigates it. If you look back, he invites guys to go fishing with him. Guys, let's just go fish.
That's what he knew.
That's what he knew.
That's right.
He was comfortable doing that. Let's get away from this hard. Let me get away from this pain. Let's go out to something familiar.
That's right.
And he goes out there and they have no luck. And then this guy on the seashore, and they don't know who he is. John makes sure to write. They don't know who he is. But he yells out at him, how's the fishing going? You know, this is one of those scenes that it would be a really good movie scene because it could be so hilarious. Because I can just see the guys in the boat just bored. Like there's nothing happening out there. They're being baked by the sun. Right. They've been out there all day and nothing. And then he says, hey, how about try on the other side of the boat? And they're probably like, what? Who are you?
Right. We are fishermen.
Right. I thought about this as far as parents in the stands of a basketball game, you know,
yeah,
yelling down to the players and saying, hey, you should do this. And players are like, you're in the stands. You're not even out here. You're not even playing. Why are you giving me advice? And you're not even on the court. But we do that with our human nature. But something caught their eye there. Something caught their attention. Their ears heard. And I think there was, I don't know, that the scripture doesn't say they knew it was Jesus at this point. But remember back to when they were first called as disciples.
Yes.
Oh, this recalls that point.
Yes.
There was another time in my life that some guy told me to put the net on the other side of the boat. There was that voice. There's something familiar about that voice. And I think in my heart, in that hard season, you've got the enemy battling. You've got this Holy Spirit battling internally for your heart, right? The battle for your heart. And you hear that voice that you do recognize, that shepherd calling you. And you recall back to some times. And then it starts with a simple act. What did they do? They put the net on the other side. A simple act of obedience. They went. They did what he asked them to do. Even though they didn't know what the end result was, they simply did it. The nets are filled. Can't even hardly haul it in. It's amazing. Peter here is Peter again, right? He puts his tunic back on. I don't know why he wasn't wearing his tunic. We won't go there. But he puts his tunic back on. He literally jumps out of the boat and swims to That's shore. Right. I mean, he is, again, his actions before his thinking. But I love it. He swims to shore because now he knows who that guy right. is. He knows it's Jesus. And he knows it. So he leaves the other guys to pull in the fish. And interestingly enough, as we were talking, John says there's 153 fish. Now, why? What is 153 got to do with anything? I don't know. If any of the listeners know, send a comment, okay?
Right, please do.
We haven't done an exhaustive search on that, but I did read a couple of course, you know, a couple things, but they didn't say anything. But then the next passage says, even the nets didn't break. So maybe 150 is like the number that the nets normally break.
Right.
I don't know, because if a net breaks, it would be bad news for fishing, right? You couldn't catch any more fish.
Everything.
And it's amazing. And it reminded me, though, that it, when God's in something,
yeah.
there's supernatural things all around. So that net was supernaturally strong.
That's right.
Even though it should have broke.
That's right.
There was more fish, and maybe they knew that number was way too much for that net. Probably some engineering, scientific, whatever, that could say that's too much. But it didn't break because God was in it.
That's so good.
But then what really got me was when Peter comes to Jesus. This is that great account where Jesus reinstates Peter. He takes time to remind Peter who he is and reinstates his calling in his life. I've got these things for you. And he does it by these three questions he asks him. In verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I just jumped out of the boat and swam to you. Think of all the good things I did for you, Jesus. Yes, I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And then the third time, can you imagine? It's probably got the attention of the other disciples now. You know, you ask a question once, it's a question. You ask it twice, oh, what's going on here? You ask it a third time, I bet the other disciples are like, you could hear a pin drop. They're like looking at that side angled look, like they're no longer eating. They are just like, you know, jaws dropped. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" It says Peter was hurt. Because he asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" he said. Peter said, "Lord, you know all things that I love you." Jesus again said, "Feed my sheep." Where that got me was God had called me to be a minister of his gospel in whatever I do, whether it be working at a Christian school, whether it be on a church staff, whether it be leading a basketball clinic or sports ministry. I knew that God had called me. I remember that time that he said, "You're going to serve me. You're going to share the message of the gospel for me." And this reminded me, Jesus was saying to me, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." And so that was my reset button, that I had to hit that button. I had to choose to hit that button. Then I had to choose where in my history to go back. Where in that history? Did I want to go back to a certain spot or do I want to go back to the operating system? Where is that spot? And I think when we find ourselves in these seasons, and if you are a believer in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit's fighting for your heart. And he gives you that chance to hit that reset button to go back. And we can do that. And if you're going through a hard time, maybe you're listening to this and you don't know Jesus personally. Maybe you've just been invited to listen, but you're going through a hard season and somebody invited you. Well, you can go back and begin that relationship with Jesus today. So in essence, you can still hit the reset button because God made you who you are from the original, in His image, for Him, to be used by Him, to receive His blessings, and to receive Him in glory one day.
It's awesome, Eric. Thank you.
I'm
challenged. I know our listeners will be challenged just by your testimony and your willingness to be honest and speak the truth about where you've been, where God, you know, has brought you from. And I just thank you for the reminder that He's been right there with
right.
you from the beginning, through the messy parts, and He's continuing to use you, using your calling and to just to pour into others and to share the gospel of Jesus. He's still doing that. And I just thank you for being you. Thank you for being here and sharing that with us.
Yeah. So good. Just a few things I thought of. Obedience in Hebrew means listening, but then also doing. And so you talked about a reset button. That's hearing, but then doing. And that's called, you called all of us to work that He has planned. And maybe we need to reset. We need to obey. We need to hear. And we need to do. And then as we press that reset button, God has a way of bringing good out of the most difficult and hurtful situations. Forgiveness is often a part of that obedience. It takes the sting out of the painful memory and turns into good what the enemy meant for evil. And we see that.
Yeah, can I add a little bit too? Because in this story, forgiveness plays a huge role. Because when you're at the point of having to make that decision, where I was, right? I'd realized bad decisions were made. I realized it was way worse than I ever would have thought it was going to be. There had to be some driving force. I think a key, at least in my story, is the forgiveness I received from you. From my wife and my family, who, because at that point, you know, if it could have been turned the other way, if it wouldn't have been forgiveness, then it would have still been my choice to reset to where. But that where would have looked a lot different. That where would have been, well, I'm not forgiven in this area. I can't go back to that. So now I have to find out where that is. But because forgiveness was there, it allowed a reset to happen in that spot. And I think that's anybody going through a hard time, when you have that issue, prayerfully, those around you, because I had three guys. I had other guys that, you know, they weren't as supportive, but I had three guys who were loving, that came alongside me and showed that support. And then my wife, my family showed that support. So that made it possible for me to feel confident and to have that courage to hit that reset button.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when bad decisions are made and things are done, it's just easy to turn and go.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I see that in the church a lot. And I think I see that in not just marriage, but in the church, where we as Christians and sometimes as churches are awful at reconciliation. But Paul writes, we've been given a ministry of reconciliation, right? That should be so. When I think one of the identity things that God's given me is a peacemaker, now because I've gone through this, I can have that testimony understanding that this can happen. And that allows me to come into any situation and be like, yeah, that's awful. That's terrible. But what steps are you going to do to get here? Because this is possible. Right. It is possible because what Jesus did and what the Bible says and who God is all about reconciliation. So the number one place that we should find reconciliation is in the church. And so oftentimes Christians don't give that a chance. So that's my encouragement to, if you're a believer and you're listening and maybe there's some conflict happening in your church with a leader in your church, the Bible gives us ways to work through that. Maybe you need to hit that reset button. Maybe that relationship has been broken by something. Maybe there's been something done. A lot of times it's misunderstanding that we just need to sit down and talk about, clarify. I had that opportunity at our school a couple weeks ago. I had a misunderstanding and I was supposed to communicate back to this person to receive something back. And you know what? People would have been like, I'm glad I'm not doing that. But God gave me a peace about it. It's like, no, I'm talking to this person and we can reconcile. And praise the Lord, at the end of that conversation, over a nice meal and a cup of coffee, we prayed together. There was no hatred. Now, were we going to be buddy-buddy and aligned with everything? I was going back to the school that they weren't a part of at that moment. It was okay because God's bigger than that. And we can work through those reconciliations.
Just again, the importance of community. Just having people around us who speak truth, who are honest, love, you know, are not judging and condemning, but know that how much God loves them. And so that spurs us on to love other people.
And have grace. All right. Well, Eric, we just have one more question. What encouragement would you give to our listeners who find themselves in a difficult season today?
Yeah, good question. I would simply say, kind of in a nutshell, when you recognize you're in a bad season, you know you're in a bad season. Agree with it. But then know you're not stuck there.
That's right.
Right? Don't try to pretend you're not there anymore. It's real. You're in a bad season. So agree with it. But then also know that the tools have been given to get out of it. Right? We have the gospel. And then when we have friends, look to those friends that are going to encourage you through it. Find those friends. You know, that reset button may need to be lose some friends. Right? That reset button may need to be this friend's not really leading me the way I want to go. And maybe that's a conflict in code that isn't happening and you didn't realize it because it looked really cool and you were having fun with that person, but then that person's not speaking truth. And maybe that's a whole alignment. The code is not working and you need to reset back. And sometimes it's just back away, but go back to what you know is true. Go back, seek the word of God, seek God out. He loves you. His word is for you. His word wants to lead you closer to him. And that rut that you're in, hey, Jesus came to get us out of that rut. And we can choose to hit that reset button through his power. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I'm not trying to take that out of context, but Jesus gives us the power to get out of that rut. And all things could simply be getting back to his relationship and resetting.
Well, thank you so much, Eric, for joining
us
today. I know we've been encouraged and
challenged. Absolutely.
So each week we like to leave our listeners with something. And Eric, I love the story that you shared about Jesus reinstating, and some versions say restored him. So that is really what we want to leave you with today. Maybe there's something in your life, something that you're going through that you need to reset. Are your thoughts, are your attitudes or influences maybe distracting you from being all that God has called you to be? You keep going back to some of those same things that are not producing peace in your life that you know, that you know, that you know God can bring and heal and restore today. So the question we want you to think about this week is just take some time to pray about those things and maybe make a commitment to reset in one or more areas that God will reveal to you. So we just want to remind you that we love you. And until next time, keep walking.
Hey everyone, if you enjoyed this episode, please go ahead and follow wherever you are currently listening to this podcast. It helps us show up on the charts so that other people can find this and be encouraged by the testimonies. Thank you for listening. Rooted Studio.